Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
All right, well, we've been celebrating love in this church. We love. Yes, we do. We love love. And Phil and Naya were married yesterday. Yes. Yes, we love some love. That's right. We love some love. That's right. There may be some more weddings on the way because we had our sister's appreciation last night. The brothers got together to plan this time to encourage our single sisters. Were y'all encouraged, ladies? You get to see yourself up there, huh? Were you encouraged, my sisters? Okay. I know we still wait. I knew we were going to be dragging today because we were partying last night. So I want to encourage the men, the single brothers in this church, for the time you took out, the planning, the strategizing to serve our sisters. So let's keep on spreading the love. There's going to be some more love spreading this week because it is Valentine's Day on Tuesday. But I want to hear from you. What do you think about Valentine's Day? This or that? We're going to play a little game. This or that? Would you prefer candy or flowers? I know some of us are still on our New Year's resolutions, so candy ain't really going to work. You know, trying to get back to a six-pack, you know. Oh, cheat days. How many cheat days do you take, Keegan? None, exactly. Candy or flowers? Okay, it's pretty close there. Candy or flowers? Pretty close. All right. Let's go to the next one. Would we prefer to dine in or dine out? Dine in. It's a good time at home. Candlelight dinner. You know, don't have to go out into the busyness of Valentine's Day and all that stuff. You know. Or dine out, you know, parents, you know, we got kids. Give us a chance to go out, please. Valentine's Day or not, we gonna take it. Okay. I'm surprised by this one. Okay. We like to go out. Okay. Last one. Keep Valentine's Day or do we cancel Valentine's Day? I know there's a lot of feelings around this sometimes, you know. You know, you feel a lot of pressure sometimes. You know, do we really need a whole holiday, you know, for folks just to make money off us? You know, I know how we feel out there. You know, we may not want to say it. Some of us may feel, not me. You know, this is the happiest time of the year for me. I got 3-4 ladies. My grandmother lives with us. I got 4 ladies to encourage, you know, during this time. So I got to take Arya out. I got to take Layla out, you know. I can't wait to take my wife out. I can't wait to take my wife out on Tuesday night. We going out. You know what I'm saying? Yes, we're going to leave some room for dessert. Yes. Yes. I can't wait. Keep Valentine's Day. Hey. You know, you're going to make me blush up here. You're going to make me blush. We want to keep it. All right. Is that the brothers, too? The brothers want to keep it? Yeah. All the husbands are like, yeah, I do. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, listen, today I want to talk about in the theme of never alone, I want to talk about teamwork. I want to talk about the power of teamwork, and when it comes to accomplishing things together for God, starting with romantic relationships and building out to groups of people, because I believe that teamwork first starts in our romantic relationships, right? With the person that we are committed to. And but I believe also it goes beyond just being together for the sake of being together or enjoying one another. But I think God brings us together for a reason. Whether it is in those romantic relationships or as groups of people, friends groups, we're going into our mission groups, that God brings us together for a specific purpose. So I want to start off in Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, we're going to go back to the beginning. We're going to go back to the beginning, starting in verse 18. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him." So the Lord God formed from the ground all the wild animals and all the birds of the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And the man chose a name for each one. He gave names to all the livestock, all the birds of the sky, and all the wild animals. But still, there was no helper just right for him. I think this is so interesting. You know, sometimes we read stuff over and over again and we lose like the awe in it. But I think it's so interesting that God made Adam. You know, Adam literally means dirt. So it makes this man from the dust. And, you know, he says, you know, it's not quite right just yet. You know, he created all these things. And he said, after he created all these things, he said that they were what? Good. And yet this is the first thing that God saw was not good for man to be alone. Any artists in the house? Any artists in the house? When you are creating, you know, it's like, you know, when you look at your creation, it's like, it's not quite right. It needs a little something. It just needs, it's not there yet. I got to put my finishing touch to make this thing just right. And that's what he did. That's what he did. I saw an Instagram post thing this past week talking about how the fact that God himself saw that it wasn't good for Adam to be alone, that it wasn't Adam who was complaining. You know, Adam ain't know no better, right? He wasn't like, I need somebody, Lord. No, he didn't even know what he needed. But God did. God knew he needed somebody else, a companion. Right? And I think that's special because sometimes we don't know what we need. Sometimes we think we know what we want. But God knows what we need and when we need him or her in our lives and when it's just better for us just to chill out for a little bit. God knew something that some of us still haven't figured out yet. What's that, Angel? I'm glad you asked. I don't know if you ever heard this saying, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. You see, God knew that about us as human beings. We're all on a journey as human beings. And going fast and going alone may be fun at first. It may be exhilarating. It may feel like, I don't need nobody. I can do this on my own. But on the journey, we all get tired. We all grow weary. And we all need somebody else. We need people to help us along the way. Because there's a reason why sprints are, their distance is short distance races. There's a reason why that is. Because we have limitations as people. We get tired. We grow weary. And we also know there's strength in numbers. And God knew that. So he said, I'm going to make a helper. Now, we're going to talk about what that means in just a minute. But God knew that Adam needed a helper who was just right. Everybody say, just right for him. Just right. And he says, he goes on. He said, you know what? Let's bring the animals. Go ahead and name the animals. Brings the animal, brings a bird, a little parakeet or something, the parrot, you know that somebody, some people like, you know, you ever go like, you know, Caribbean or something, you got the parrot, you know, it's like a buddy, you know. And so Adam had the parrot, named parrot, nice to meet you, parrot. It wasn't right, you know. And then You ever watch like in like Thailand, you see people with like whole lions as pets. You know what I mean? Like, got a leash on a tiger. Like, hey, tiger, nice to meet you. You're Tiger. I'm Adam. Nah, this ain't working. I know. A dog. A dog. I think dogs are the closest. You know? Man's best friend. But even then, dog, nice to meet you. What up, dog? No, it ain't, no. This ain't working, dog. This ain't working. Because still, no helper was found that was just right. Everybody say just right. For him. Verse 21. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. While the man slept, the Lord God took out of the man's ribs and closed up the opening. Took out one of the man's ribs and closed up the opening. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib, and he brought her to the man. At last! Woo! That brother was relieved. At last! The man exclaimed, this one is bone from my bone and flesh from my flesh. She will be called woman because she was taken from man. This explains why man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. At last! A helper, just right. Everybody say, just right. For him. I believe, this is just my opinion. The book of angels' opinions. This ain't biblical. This is just from my short 40 years living on this earth. I believe there is somebody just right for everybody. I've seen it. I've seen people that just made for each other. You ever come across a couple that's just, y'all just made for each other? And it ain't based on looks, because sometimes, you know, they may look alike, you know what I mean? Like they thought Christina and I were brother and sister at times when we started dating. You know, you may just look like, sometimes it don't make no sense. Come on now, y'all be too, you just look at a couple same. Physical, personality-wise, it's just, but it works. It works. I think there is somebody just right. Everybody say just right. For him or her. Just keep on praying. Keep on praying. You know, I listened to the Bema podcast. Brother named Marty Solomon, who is a Christian, but he has learned the Jewish teachings, the rabbinic teachings, and he has this podcast, and it really gives us a lot of insight on some of the cultural and historical things from these scriptures, right? And so, actually, he's going to be here. Marty Solomon is going to be here March 26th at the end, the last Sunday of the month. He's going to come and he's going to preach, and one of his main themes is trust the story. Yeah, so he'll be here. That's going to be exciting. Make sure we encourage him when he comes. He has a new book out. He's going to do a book signing. And then he's going to have a session afterwards where he's going to teach deeper into some things of the Bible. But it's really good what he shared about this story here. You know, it's translated. The woman is Isha, the man is Ish, and so that's so it says, so literally more of what it says is she shall be called Isha, for she was taken out of Ish, and so God takes out of Ish a part of him, not necessarily a rib, but a part of him, and he creates woman, Isha, and Isha is the part that's now missing in man. So now man is incomplete. And so Isha is that piece that's now missing that he needs to be complete. And it's not just about personal companionship, right? It's more about what humanity needs to thrive. That humanity needs both Ish and Isha to thrive and become what God has dreamed for humanity to become. That men and women must join together, come together, coexist together, that the best out of each one of us makes for more of a complete picture of what God has in store for us as humankind. And it's only when male and female are together that we see humanity in its fullness. working together, worshiping together, serving together. But that's easier said than done. And here's why. Helper in Hebrew is that phrase is better translated as the help that comes against him or opposes him. So it reads more as in like, in her opposition, she is his greatest help. Whoa. At first, you're like, wait, what? We feel it. You know what I mean? Like, we understand it. You know, it's opposites attract, right? You one step ahead of me, Keegan. So he gives this analogy of two pieces of wood resting against each other to form a pyramid. So if you take either piece away, the other plank falls over. But because the plank, they're opposing each other with their force, it's able to stand. So in the same way that woman comes against the design of man, that she is best able to support Adam. So she opposes a man in a way that supports and vice versa. There's no plank that can stand by itself. That's why I love this scripture in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 11. But among the Lord's people, women are not independent of men, and men are not independent of women. For although the first woman came from man, every other man was born from a woman. And everything comes from God. Don't you love that about God? Just because the woman came out of a man the first time, every other time the man has come from woman. What does that mean? There's an interdependence there that God wants us to have. So it really makes no sense to try to become superior over one another. Why? Why do we even do that? Why do we even go there? Both are needed. He wants a healthy interdependence. We need one another. And then he says, ultimately, it's not even about you or what comes from you. Everything comes from God. We all come from God. And so my title today is When Opposites Attract. I guess we've been friends for a long time, Keegan. You read my mind. When opposites attract. See, this crew don't know nothing about that right there. How about my people over here? Anybody know about that? Paula Abdul? Is a... I like... Attract, hey. I was going to show that whole video. I said, no, we don't got time. It brought me back. Two steps forward. Hey. So my A's, that's my millennials right there, the older millennials, you know what I'm saying? It's crew don't know. Y'all YouTube it. You may be blessed. You may be blessed. But as I was thinking about this concept, I thought, of course I'm a dad, and so I watch all these children's movies. And so I often use children, as you all know, use children's movies to share a point. And I thought about the movie The Emperor's New Groove. Y'all know about that one? Okay. See, they watched it as kids. I watch it for my kids. And so if you don't know about it, you got this arrogant emperor. Doesn't care about nobody. He wants to build his palace on this mountaintop, and he wants to take out a village. And so, but somebody in his camp ends up poisoning him, and instead of killing him, because she wants the power, makes him into a llama. Yeah, great story. It's funny. A llama ends up at this village with the leader of the village, and then they take a journey back to the palace, and in the way the emperor goes on his journey himself of, you know, self-reflection and that coming to age story, and change and growth happens, but not without opposition. There's so many lessons. They start off fighting. You're on a bridge. You're hanging on by a thread, and they're still fighting. That's married life. I mean, we sit up there arguing with one another. No one is detrimental to ourselves personally, us as a relationship, but we don't care. We want to get our point across. right? There's so many lessons in there. Then they start falling down, and then you see that the tension that's needed as they figure out we need to rely on each other just to survive. And so they push up against each other back to back so they can make their way up. They said, you know what? The only way we're going to make it is together. And in the chaos, somehow they find themselves and they're like, oh, we made it. We got here. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes it's like that in marriage. Sometimes you're sitting there arguing, going through it, and you somehow, some way, we've made it through. Somehow, some way, we're still here today. Somehow, some way, we're still married, still trying to do God's will, and it's really about God's grace in our lives, right? But it's because at some point we just decide that we have to have each other. It's the same thing with friendships, right? I mean, that applies to all these different relationships in our lives. Here's the thing. If we do not understand this concept, we will always view opposition as an attack, when it's actually meant to hold us up, to make us complete, to equip us to be complete picture of God's love for the world. You think about what can two people accomplish together with God, for God? Just two people. You know, that's what we see in marriages in this church. I'm so inspired. You get to see marriages, man, we just newly married to 10, 20, 30 years plus, right? You get to see that. And then you also get to see in the world, you see very successful people. Take a Tom Brady, Giselle, two of the most successful people in their own right, but can't make it work together. But you think about two amazing people like that in a world, in the world's view, right? Just in skill set, ability, success, that kind of stuff. Like, what could God do through a couple like that? And yet, they couldn't figure out how to make it work. Couldn't figure out that each other's opposing thoughts, opposing ideas, different perspectives were actually a good thing. Couldn't make it work together. Single people, consider this. As you're building relationships, the easy thing is to find the things you have in common. That's the fun part. That's the easy thing. And there should be things you have in common, especially when it comes to things like your faith, your values, right? Shared experiences, sense of humor. You better be able to laugh together. Life is hard. You better find somebody that makes you laugh. But as you're together longer and you go deeper, you're going to find that there's big differences in your perspectives, in your expectations, even in your strengths and your weaknesses. You know, me and Christina got this joke that before we were married, we had everything in common. You couldn't tell us nothing. When we found out that my mom's birthday's on Valentine's Day and her dad's birthday's on Valentine's Day, it's like, psh, done deal. This was meant to be, baby. What are the chances of that? That's the fun part. Then we got married and we were like, do we have anything in common? Wait, you think about hospitality this way? Why can't they just come over? Well, I grew up planning for people to come over. I want to make it special for them. What about finances? You think about it like that, I think about it like this. We could literally be saying the same thing, the same end. It's a different process, and we'll get into it. You know what I'm saying? Like, but why don't you think about it like this? Why don't you think about it like this? Chores. You better find out who likes what chores and who doesn't like what chores. Everybody got to do something. Everybody got to hold their own. You know, do we have anything in common? But God, we figured it out. 18 years later, we still figured it out. But God made us different for a reason. And we're at our best when we embrace our differences, our different viewpoints and different ideas. You see, that's a sign of spiritual maturity. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14, yes. The body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less part of a body. And if the ear says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? If your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. See, this is talking about God's church. See, that's why I say this is a sign of spiritual maturity, when we can actually see differences in one another as blessings. When we can actually take the time to understand one another, to ask questions about how you came to that conviction, to that perspective. What life experiences have you had that brought you to this point in what you believe and why? When we celebrate each other's different skills and gifts and abilities. See, that's a sign of spiritual maturity. Now, the opposite is a sign of spiritual immaturity. See, even the world gets this, especially this time of year. This is the time of year where the country celebrates the team. It is Super Bowl Sunday today. Rihanna's halftime concert today. And even that takes a lot to put together. Here's the thing about the media all throughout the season. For any of my sports fans, I will take Super Bowl Sunday to share about some of the things I love the most. All year long, all season long, the media highlights individual efforts, individual highlights, putting people against people, coaches against coaches. During Super Bowl weekend, they highlight the team. Oh, now they're telling me, yeah, you need a whole team. You need a whole team. You got to have complimentary football. All of a sudden, it's a team game. All year, it's been about people. Now, it's about the team. Okay. This concept called complimentary football. Complimentary football. Complimentary, not as like I'm giving you a compliment. That's different. Compliment as in coming together, making something complete, when one compliments one another, right? So what that means is that every part does its job. Very biblical. It's actually the three parts of the football team: offense, defense, special teams, the Trinity. Ain't that right, Coach Moreno? It's something spiritual about football. That's right. When everybody comes together, when one is down, the other part of the team picks it up. If offense ain't doing it, defense got to get a stop. If offense, defense struggle, then special teams got to make a play. And you work together ultimately to win the game. And no part is greater than the other. What would it mean for us to have that same attitude, where we see each other as an opportunity to complement what God is doing with us together? You know, a great example of complementary football is the San Francisco 49ers. They went through four quarterbacks. They literally ran out of quarterbacks against the Eagles 2 weeks ago. Ran out of quarterbacks. Brock Purdy had to throw with a messed up arm. He had to come back in because his backup got hurt too. But they made it to the NFC Championship game with four different quarterbacks. Why? Because the team was strong. You know, what does it look like for us to embrace this concept of what happens, the beautiful things that happen when opposites attract, when every part does its work, does its job, plays its role? You see, it's the concept that differences should complement a team, not produce conflict. We live in a world where conflict is glorified. Just put gasoline on any fire so we can make it bigger and bigger and bigger until it blows up. But what would it look like for us to actually do the opposite? And in that, be able to attract those that are searching for something different. You see, different roles and skills are meant to make the team better, not to divide it. And when we celebrate those differences, that's when opposites have the power to attract those that are searching for something opposite than what the world is offering. As a church, that's what we're being called to be, a group of people called out of the world in order to be a light to the world, a city on a hill that attracts those who are living in darkness. That starts in our homes. It spreads to our friend groups, to our mission groups. Okay, so this applies to at home in our relationships, right? With our spouses and our kids. Are we celebrating each other's differences at home? Our kids, they may be different. They are very different. Do we make them feel bad because they're not like the other one? Or do we celebrate it for the gifts and the skills, the abilities, the talents that they have individually and how they bring something to the family that the other one doesn't bring? Does your family feel like you're on a mission together? Accomplishing something for God together? Or are we just trying to survive and coexist? You see, if we're trying to do something together for God, we see that we have a mission as a family, then guess what? We're going to look for those strengths and empower every part of the family. That goes into our friend groups, right? What happens when you get together, when you hang out? What happens? Is it superficial or are you going deep? Are you dreaming together, right? Are you supporting one another? Are you even willing to challenge one another when you see somebody going in a direction that's not good for them? We're going into our mission groups, right? These mission groups where we're starting groups in specific areas of town based on where we are geographically. How are we doing just building relationships already? Don't wait on me. Don't wait on the church to tell you, okay, now go ahead and do it. No. Start now. Start building those friendships. Those type of relationships can be both intentional and organic. What does that mean? You got to be intentional in order to have to create space for the magic to happen, right? It's hard. Sometimes it's not as easy as just, oh, look, we just became best friends. No, sometimes we got to create that space. That's what these mission groups are all about, creating the space, the time for the magic to happen, for the relationships to be built and to blossom. Got to be intentional. As we get to know people in our geographical areas, as we get to know our different disciples, have we reached out to those disciples, the brothers and sisters that live by us yet? Are we reaching out to our neighbors, just getting to know them? Have we started dreaming about how God can use us, all of us, as unique and different as we are, to complement each other and to show the world what happens when opposites attract? At this time, we're going to take communion. We're going to celebrate Jesus. If you don't have a communion packet, go ahead and raise your hand so the host team can give it to you. It's a time when we celebrate what Jesus did. You see, in his life, he led by example. He modeled this in his life. He brought people on from all different walks of life, all different types of people, men and women, to follow him and to be part of the mission, to partner together to do God's will. And you know what? Jesus continues to bring us together through his death, through his resurrection. Because as we gain new life, we can experience new life together. We can change the way we did things in the world, have a new perspective about why the opposite can actually be good for us. Let's go ahead and pray. God, thank you so much for this time to take communion together, God. To think about Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection. Thank you for the example that he set. Thank you that he loved us all, Jews, Gentiles, Samaritans, everybody. Thank you that you decided in your plan that you're going to bring all types of people together in your church so that we can be a beacon of hope and a beacon of light to this dark world. Help us, God, not to imitate the patterns and the customs of this world, Lord God, but I pray that your spirit will empower us, will give us the wisdom and the patience, the curiosity that we need to understand one another, to highlight each other, each other's differences, each other's unique abilities, and to celebrate those as we strive to do something great for you. Use us in a powerful way, God, as we go about this week, striving to be a light. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.